Hello, and welcome to Dwell on Truth. I am Brenton Powers, your host. For the Friday edition of my show, I want to share highlights from when I was a guest on Flight 1080.
All right, let's get out to our guests here. Now, we are very happy to have Daniel Bodwin and Brenton Powers. Now, Daniel Bodwin is our other guest. He's on line one. Daniel, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm doing fantastic, sir. It's always good when we get a nice topic and the phone callers, you know, get going and they get the juices flowing. It's been a great show. Thank you guys for joining us. First of all, you heard the topic that we've been talking about. Do either one of you want to take a shot at this and let us know what you think? So you've heard what we've been talking about, Daniel. The talk is that the state of California is going to give a $500 check to every illegal immigrant. I mean, you know, citizens are going to do it too, but we're focusing on the check that's going to go out to illegal immigrants. A $500 check. What do you think? Let's start off with Brenton then.
I received my stimulus check today.
What?
It was a big one.
Oh, good for you.
That was helpful.
Good.
As far as whether illegal immigrants should receive checks or not, I think they need compassion. And I think the bigger question is, Jack raised the issue, why not just borrow more money and just give everyone $2,000 per month and print more money? And I think there's a danger in doing that. One is more dependence on the government and giving them more power over our lives. It's almost like the communist system where we don't own anything and we're just dependent on the state to do everything for us. I think that takes away a lot of motivation. I think there's a lot of problems with giving the government too much power and authority and, in a sense, making them God. And that's the problem with communism, is that it treats the state as if it's God. Everything belongs to the state, and it should provide everything for everybody. And they let you use what's common. So I lived in Eastern Europe for 11 years, and it was post-Soviet Republic, but it's not good for the economy. You know, communism collapsed, and any country that thinks that they can't collapse, well, we haven't learned from world history when every world power has some sort of collapse. And then, you know, Rome, Egypt, Assyria, Medo-Persian Empire, every empire, world power, is not eternal. Maybe we are like the Titanic, but I hope that this doesn't sink us.
It's a tough thing, because I agree with Brenton that we need to have compassion, but I am not a big believer in getting compassion from the government in any way. I really wish that the government would stop taking so much in taxes to redistribute our wealth. Let us keep that money, put it into charitable organizations, or help people that we know in our own sphere of influence, and get the compassion out that way. Because if you've got $100 that you want to share with someone in need, and you send it into the government and tell them they can take that and give it to someone in need, not only will it probably not go to the person in the most need, only about $20 of it will get to the people in need, and the rest of it's going to be in the pockets of the politicians. And that doesn't really help anybody. And I'm a big one for letting anybody in as long as they come through the proper channels.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not one that thinks that we should limit the number of immigrants. Personal opinion. But I think that whichever immigrants come in from whatever country, they go through the process. We make sure they're not carrying any infectious diseases. We make sure that they don't have a serious criminal background. And then we put them on the books so that when they go to work, whether it's in the fields or whatever they're doing, that they're paying income tax just like everyone else. They're putting into the system. That way, when things get bad and they need help, then they're getting out of the system what they, you know, part of what they put into it. You know, it's akin to theft if they're coming in and just taking resources. And of course, you know, I agree with, you know, what some of the people have said earlier with the gentleman who was an illegal alien that called in. And he said, you know, I don't want any free money from the government. I'm here to work. More power to him. God bless him. I hope he does really well. And I hope that he's able to get that citizenship soon.
Dude, that guy was cool, because when I was growing up, that guy was more typical of the people that I saw. It was, I don't want a handout. I would like to become a citizen. The guy learned English, which is fantastic. Dude, I am so stoked that there are people like that out there.
You know, because there's
people who live here forever and don't learn to speak the language. And that to me is offensive.
Yeah, sorry, didn't mean to cut in on you. I remember hearing stories about families that would come over you know, in the, you know, 120 years ago, 130 years ago, that when they came in through Ellis Island and they were living in the United States, they wouldn't let their children speak their native language at home because they needed to learn English to be successful here.
Yes.
Now, I think that's probably a little extreme, but I think that says something. You know, if you move into another country, you know, if I move to China, I'm not going to assume everybody in China is going to speak English. I'm going to learn Chinese.
You know, that's what happened.
I'm going to respect that culture.
At my grandparents' house, and why I never learned to speak Spanish is because my grandparents' house, you spoke English. No Spanish was allowed. We live in America. You have to speak English. And the kids lost the ability to speak Spanish, which really ended up screwing me, but that was the rule in their household too. You know, we live in America, we speak English. Yes, we can speak Spanish, that's our primary language, but that's not happening. We live here, we will speak the language, English, and they ended up losing, you know, the Spanish, and I lost that too because of that decision. I wish that had probably turned out
different. I think there could be a balance there.
Yeah,
I think there could be a balance there too, because I think, you know, the cultures and traditions and stuff from other countries, from countries around the world, can be beautiful and valuable and something that we can celebrate. But when you hold so tightly to, I want everything to be like the native country, even though I'm living someplace else, you can't really respect the people around you very well when you do that.
Right.
You know, hold on to that culture. It's a beautiful thing, but learn English.
Brenton Powers, you have been there. Now, when we get back from the break, we are going to discuss, I got a list here of three topics, three bullet points, and these are very, very good topics. I think the audience is going to love them.
Serving Moss Landing, Marina, and Piscines.
Brenton Powers and Daniel Bodwin. Brenton, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Hello, Brenton. And Daniel, are you there, sir? Daniel.
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Good to have you guys. I had a feeling you were there. All right. So we're going to be talking about some stuff that we have here. You sent me some bullet points, and I think they are great topics. I think our audience will love hearing about these topics and discussing them. We're going to pick up one
very
phone call
topic,
and then we'll get to our show here. Estelle calling from San Jose. You're in the air, Estelle.
Yes, I wanted to talk about the money that the government has been giving. First of all, that money is like a little cushion for the people that are hurting right now in this crisis, okay? So all the immigrants that are illegally here should get a little help, because probably their families have been here also and has worked and paid taxes. That's one thing I want to say. And also, you cannot depend on the government. Government is not your source. You need to go to work, okay? As soon as they open, so government is not your source. The only person that is your source is God, okay? You work for your sweat. You work for your food. You know, everything that you have, you thank God. It's a blessing. This money is a blessing. It's okay, God says, you help each other, okay? And people, Governor Gavin Newsom has given all people here in California from the ages 1 from birth to 18 years old, free Medi-Cal, Medicaid. That means they can go to the dentist, to the doctors, free, okay? Where's all that money coming from the government? So America will go broke. And if they don't open this country in the next couple weeks, we are going to have a chaos on our hands, and there are more homeless people on the street. So please, okay, help each other and pray to God. He is the only answer to this problem.
Thank you for the call, Estelle. What do you guys think about that? Pray to God for help? That's what do you guys
perfect
think about
segue.
That? Perfect segue. Perfect segue. Thank you for the call, Estelle.
Yeah, that's a perfect segue.
That's a perfect segue.
After all of the arguing and trying to figure out who do we look to for help, finally we look to God. And we should start there, in fact. And God is gracious, and he tells us to love our neighbors, even if they're foreigners. We love
isn't he the one that gave us this darn virus to begin with?
Well, he allowed it.
No, I agree. It's, now, to say he gave it,
I think that goes beyond what the text of Scripture says.
Okay.
It says that God is sovereign. That means he has ultimate control over everything. But did he actually decide to create this thing called the coronavirus and put it down here? I mean, could God use something like a virus or a plague to punish people for sin? Yeah, he's done it before.
Sure.
But I think it goes beyond what the Bible says for us to say, yes, that's the purpose of this. Because we live in a world that's broken by sin. So things don't work the way that they're supposed to anymore. Well, viruses are not... Yeah, go ahead.
If God didn't allow this, I would almost argue that he did allow this to happen, or almost...
We agree.
That he created this.
Yeah.
I would almost make that argument, sure. Because it either happened from some dude eating a bat, which was totally... that's got to be God's work there. Or it was created in a lab by man... And God didn't stop it in an indirect way. He allowed it to be created. And what's the difference if he allows it or does it himself? What's the difference? You know, as a matter of fact, when in the Old Testament, when he decided to lay waste to villages and cities, he didn't do it himself. He had the help of armies go in there and do it for him. So this kind of fits his MO. If he was going to release a disease, instead of him creating it, he would just allow it to happen or create it himself, either one. What's the difference?
Cause and allow are two very different things, though. I mean, you mm-hmm. think about a police officer sitting on the side of the road waiting for a speeder to come by. I mean, he could go down the freeway, you know, with his lights on 24/7 and nobody in his vicinity is going to speed because they don't want to get a ticket. He leaves his lights off and hides behind a sign on the side of the road, and the person comes by at 85 miles an hour. You know, he allowed the situation where that person could break that law. That doesn't mean he caused it.
But God wouldn't even would banish the thought from people's minds that cops would be unnecessary. No one would speed. No one would even want to speed because God would take care of all that.
Well, he could, but do you want to be a robot? I don't.
Hmm. All right.
I want to share one scripture I think that can help in this situation.
Okay.
In any understanding of how do we view the world and why is there suffering, sin, death, destruction, and, you know, fears that people are afraid of dying. In one sense, we wouldn't have it unless God allowed it and God actually mm-hmm. created this scenario where death would come into the world. He created the possibility for Adam and Eve to sin, and he said, when you sin, death will come into the world. So ultimately, it didn't just start with one man eating a bat in Wuhan, China. It was one man eating a forbidden fruit as an act of rebellion against God, the creator of life, and God issuing the consequences for that sin, which is death. And we're all subject to sin and death. And so there's a bondage we're in to sin and death. So that's the bad news. That's point one. We wanted to talk about that problem. But the good news that we as Christians come to bring is that the same God who has cursed us with death, the dying process, is the same God that will rescue us from death and give us eternal life if we repent of our rebellion against him and believe in the remedy that he's provided. And we can share about that, what that remedy is. But God has already saved me and given me eternal life. So I don't have anything to fear. If I die, I'm going to heaven. And that gives me great hope. Now, I know that many people who die without Christ, they're not going there. So I want to share that hope with them. Before they die, they have a chance to receive eternal life. And that's greater than any suffering of this present age punishment that we are experiencing here. Yeah, I'm going to die, but I'm going to live forever. The scripture I wanted to read in Romans 8, verse 20, it says, "For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God." There's a lot packed in there.
Yeah, what does that mean?
What that means is this world is a fallen world, cursed world, and God had subjected it to this curse in the hope that we would turn back to him and be reconciled to our Heavenly Father, become his children again, and have peace with him. And one day, this fallen world will be restored to be better than it was in the beginning, without sin, suffering, death, or any kind of separation between us and God.
The problem of sin, so I got three points here that you guys wanted to talk about. The first one is the problem of sin, suffering, and death, and the fear of death. So let's open up with that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I think that's part of what Brenton was getting at, and I think something that we can definitely learn from the coronavirus, whether we think it's something directly caused by God or something that he allowed, is that sin has consequences. You know, when we break God's law, there are going to be consequences for that. And we can go back to the book of Genesis. This is a good one. And Satan actually tempted Adam and Eve to eat the fruit, and they gave into that temptation, and God cursed the world. He talked to the serpent, who was, you know, representative of Satan. And then he talked to the man and the woman, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing, and cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all of your days, all the days of your life, thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Prior to that, Adam and Eve theoretically could have lived forever, you know, in relationship with God, in the presence of God. But starting with them and every one of us since then, when we choose to do it our own way instead of listening to God and obeying him, and we have every reason, certainly Adam and Eve had every reason to trust him, but instead they were prideful. They said, I want to have control myself. I don't want to have to listen to what God said. And there were serious consequences. And the same's true today.
Now, Daniel, you mentioned punishment and sin. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was in the same breath, but certainly in the same paragraph as the coronavirus. Yes. Do you think that the coronavirus is a form of punishment for sinners? And the reason why I ask you this is because, for the most part, it doesn't seem to kill younger people. Younger people, I like to think, have less sin than older people. Is this a punishment on sinners?
I have to answer that two ways, because in one sense, yes, and in one sense, we don't know. All, you know, suffering is punishment from God for sin, because like Brenton said, we live in a fallen world. It's been fallen and cursed and broken since Adam and Eve, and we're sinners just like they were, and so we're going to suffer the consequences of that. Whether God specifically used the plague of coronavirus to attack certain people, he could do that, but I don't know. But I don't think that we can say that. But then in Egypt, certainly when Moses was bringing the Israelites out of Egypt, he used suffering and plagues to punish them for their evil and to help to deliver Israel. So, and there are other examples of God giving sickness and death as punishment. I just don't think that we know enough to say that this is a result of a specific sin or a specific groups of sins. I don't think
that we
can say
question, that. That same type of question was asked of Jesus in a couple different ways. There was a man who was born blind in John chapter 9, and they asked him, Rabbi, who sinned that this man was born blind, him or his parents? Obviously, if he was born blind, he didn't sin before he was born. God could see into his life and punish him with blindness because of what he would potentially do. But no, that's not it either. Jesus said neither. It wasn't because of this man's sin or his parents, but he allowed this for the glory of God. That's in John 9. It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him, because he was planning to heal him. Part of the drama of the story of the Bible, there is an enemy, and there is a real threat, and there is real problems. But the solution that God provides in the end, and what he provided when he was here temporarily, was a victory over sin and sickness and blindness and deafness. And, you know, he loves people, and he chooses to use even evil to work for good. He can display his glory in a greater way in the darkness than in the light. It's like a candle, you know, it shines brightly, or a diamond that you have on a black felt. You see how glorious something is because of the blackness and the darkness of the background.
I get it.
And that's what's happening.
You know, I have not had a chance to power through even the first book of the New Testament, so I'm still stuck in Matthew, and this is going to be the third time I'm going to have to start from the beginning. But I tell you what, I don't mind reading it 1,000 times from the beginning, because now this is a more positive message. I can see why people say now, if you're going to read the Bible, start with the New Testament. I've been told that I don't know how many times, and I see why they told me that now. It is much more inspirational. It is much more loving. It is a much different message than what you hear in the Old Testament.
The Old Testament talks a lot about the problem. The New Testament talks more about the solution.
Right.
And that makes a big difference. And I just want to springboard off something that Brenton said too. There's another passage that Jesus talked about, or where Jesus talked about a tower in the city that had collapsed and killed a bunch of people. And he asks the question, now, were these people worse sinners than all the other people that they died in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. So the one thing I think we should really remember that everybody can learn from the coronavirus is, number one, life is short. We're not promised a tomorrow, and you need to consider the state of your soul now. And if you don't repent before God, then you will perish. And we're seeing people. We're seeing people perish. We're seeing people die. And when you walk out of this world and into the next one and stand before your God, are you going to be ready? I mean, think about it, Dave. If you were to die from coronavirus today, and I pray you don't. I wish nothing but the best for you. Sure. You're a wonderful guy.
Sure.
But if you were to die today and stand before God and he were to say, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say?
Dude, I would say, you know what? You're going to have to send me to hell because I haven't had enough time to repent. I've had enough time, but I just haven't done it. And here I am dead because I died of a heart attack overnight and I didn't have enough waking time to actually repent. Lord, I throw myself, I ask for your mercy. But you're going to do what you're going to do, and I can't complain. I don't deserve to be hanging out with you.
But see, I love the way you corrected yourself there, because you said, first, I haven't had time. Oh, wait, I have had time. I've chosen not to.
Yes.
And something like the coronavirus can be, there's a pastor I love by the name of John Piper, and he said that this was a thunderclap of mercy from God, because it brings the shortness of life right in front of our eyes, and we can't miss it anymore.
Daniel,
so
let's hold
it. Gives us a sense of urgency.
Let's hold it right there, you guys, because we're up against a break. Daniel Bodwin, Brenton Powers. We got an international call. We got a call from Aptos. We got a couple other phone calls, emails, text messages. We're going to get to all those on the other side of this break.
Hello, I'm Jason Hyduk, your fire chief for the city of Santa Cruz. I'm here with news that is going to help protect our community from the spread of coronavirus. An order to shelter in place has been issued by our Santa Cruz County Health Officer. This order is effective now. It requires everyone to stay at home and leave only for essential needs and services. If we all comply with this order, we can restrict the spread of COVID-19. I know from decades as an emergency responder how important it is to take breaks from this stress. Whether it's music, yoga, running, find something for counterbalance during these difficult days and prioritize self-care. Please take time to include these activities for you and your loved ones. It is important. We will get through this together. Thank you for doing your part in obeying the shelter-in-place order. For more information with specific guidelines, go to cityofsantacruz.com/coronavirus.
Let's head out. Let's take another call. This time we're going to head out to Aptos. Colonel Terry, you are in the air, sir. You're on Brenton Powers' line.
Hi. Yeah, gentlemen, your guest, David, have made a reference to reality. Reality, gentlemen, is based on the word real, and it means actual, and I'm looking at the definitions. Actually existing, proven, shown, with evidence to support it. The same is true with the word reality. Your guest also said, we don't know enough about what God is doing here. There's no evidence there's any God involved.
Hey, Terry.
What?
You ever
from...
You ever think about just talking to other people like they're human beings, like normal human, like, because if you were my friend, Terry, and you called me and you started speaking to me like that, I'd say, why am I friend? Why do I got to listen to this guy? He sounds mean and he sounds nasty. He sounds like a 14-year-old girl.
Hey,
my point
what?
Is that Daniel and Brenton have been very courteous and very polite to every caller ever who's ever called in every single time. And you have a habit of calling in consistently and being rude and terse and condescending. And I'm curious, why would you do that when they've proved consistently that they're just nice guys?
I don't believe I've been rude or terse. I've been candid.
Can I ask a question?
The defense of recognizing reality.
That doesn't answer the question. What kind of evidence would you be willing to accept to the truth of the Bible or Christianity?
You can't provide any actual scientific or knowledgeable evidence.
Respectfully, science, the scientific method, examines what is now and how the world works now. We're talking about something that happened in history. You know, so what kind of evidence would you be willing to accept? If you say we don't have any, you've got to have some idea of what kind of evidence
of what evidence would look like. So what would appropriate evidence be? Can you give me some kind of a standard? And
that
I have another question.
An actual demonstration, an actual physical manifestation of this non-existent God you make reference to.
How do you know he's non-existent? You're making a claim there.
Because there is no demonstrative evidence that he is. It's inconsistent that a caring, loving God, if it existed, would let little children get cancer, for example. Cancer is derived from a molecular and a biological process. There's no God involved in it at all.
I'm gonna thank him for his call, and we're going to move on. You asked him something that I've often wondered. What would prove God existed to me? What would I need to see to prove that God existed? And how would I recognize? Would I be smart enough to recognize him? Would I be aware enough to recognize God? Because if somebody came down and said, hey, I'm God, I'd say, yeah, right. No, really, watch me check out. I'm going to walk on water. A good magician can do that. I don't know what kind of evidence somebody could show me to prove that that God exists. I'm not sure what would constitute evidence of God's existence.
Yeah, well, and that's why I kind of challenged him, because, you know, he's actually much more polite than a lot of the people we deal with on the street sometimes.
Oh, I've seen some of those guys.
So if you don't mind him being on, I don't mind going at it politely a little bit. I don't think Brenton does either.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that bugs me is that, you know, he says there is no evidence. But I tell him, you know, I ask him, well, what do you mean by evidence? You know, what kind of evidence would you be willing to accept? And he didn't have an answer. He's talking about science, and science is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But science can tell us how things work now. It can't really tell us anything about the past. There are other kinds of evidence and other things that we could look at. But I think that what it really comes down to is it's not a matter of evidence. It's not what he's able to believe.
Right.
It's what he wants to believe.
Yes.
And Romans 1 says that. It says that people suppress the truth and unrighteousness because they love their sin. The existence of God should be obvious from everything around us. It's not a matter. I mean, if he wanted evidence, I could point him at a bunch of different things. You know,
he wouldn't accept it as evidence, though.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And whatever you present, it's like, that's not evidence.
Right.
That doesn't convince me.
Right.
Which is why I kind of challenged him. Well, what would you accept? And he didn't have an answer.
Something exciting might happen. My sister is watching me on Facebook Live. I'm streaming it at facebook.com/Brenton Powers.
All right.
And she's asking, should I call in? And I said, yeah, it would be great to talk with you. She's an atheist similar to our last caller, but I think it would be an enlightening call for you to meet my sister, who's the lead singer of a rock band called Monster on Sunday, which is an atheist rock band.
Is she in Arizona, Brenton?
Yes, she is.
Okay, well, I suspect...
I would love to hear from her.
I suspect that that's on... who's on line three. So, Tally in Arizona, you're in the air, Tally.
Well, hello there.
Hello, Tally.
Hi, Tally.
We're here with Brenton Powers and Daniel Bodwin. I understand that you have a question for Brenton or a comment.
That's all the time we have for this Friday edition of Dwell on Truth, but you can hear the continuation of this on the podcast at dwellontruth.org. So I hope that we can dwell on truth once again this Sunday at 7 p.m. and next Friday at 7 p.m. So if you'd like to give, simply go to patreon.com/dwellontruth. Give today. Your monthly support will help me to work on this radio show and my guest appearances on the Flight 1080 show, and support my family, including my wife and three kids. Once again, that's patreon.com/dwellontruth. Or find the link at the podcast page, dwellontruth.org. May God richly bless you as you continue to dwell on truth.